Welcome to Moment in Ministry, hosted by Pastor Steve Dameron.
Hello once again, this is Pastor Steve Dameron for Moment in Ministry, and we're trying another new aspect with COVID-19. We have to try all kinds of different venues. So we have a panel discussion with Dr. Jeff Oglin, Pastor Dan Armacost, and all three of us on staff here and worked together for over 25 years. And all of us have been involved in education. So we've been involved in, obviously, elementary, high school, all right? And then we've been involved in undergraduate. We've been involved in graduate, higher learning, all three of us. So with that idea and then with the kind of shutdown of everything, we thought we'd do a panel discussion on the dangers of online learning. And I think some of you out there are realizing there's some dangerous things. So we're going to jump into that. So first, I'll look at Dr. Voglin. So what have you found to be some dangers in learning solely online?
Well, you know, I'm the more philosophy theory type of guy. So first thing that comes to my mind is that there's a tremendous loss of personal interaction.
Yep.
It's a tremendous disadvantage. I don't know that it's dangerous.
Yeah.
The way some people might say, "You're not going to get hurt," but you're not getting what you're not learning in that way. The technology is a barrier. When I teach in a classroom, I can see the students. I can see the things around them. I can see their whole body. I can see their body language, their facial expression, and all of that. And whatever kind of technology there is, whether it's doing a Zoom thing when you can actually see a part of their face, or it's just a matter of a student watching something after the fact, there's no interaction between the teacher and the student, even just in the silent things that happen as far as body language, gestures, facial expressions, and things like that. So that would be one aspect of it. There's not the personal interaction is missing there as far as kind of the nonverbal items. There's also, this is kind of just, it's an old adage, you know, there's more is caught than what's taught. Sometimes they talk about that with sports or whatever, but even in a classroom, one of the things that we're trying to do as educators is to instill a love of learning into our students so that it's not so much what they learn in the classroom with us, but that they learn to love to learn so that when they go out, they know how to learn, they want to learn. And that, I don't think there's very much caught with the technology blocks the catching of the love of learning. It's also a distractor. Technology is a distraction. It's just very, somebody's watching this right now and there's a ding going off on their computer, some notification, or they don't feel like listening to me, so they click on the other tab and see what's going on in their Facebook feed or something like that. There's so many distractions there that there's distractions in a classroom, but not nearly the number that there are when you're online. And then there's a lack of camaraderie and that personal interaction. I know when I was a student, I compared what I got from the lesson with the guy next to me after class, before class, even listening to the person's question during class. I know some of the things that we do, we've videoed, and we like it when it's a real class because you can, the person that's listening can hear somebody else's question or something like that. But that wasn't my question, and I can't join in on that. That's with a video. But there's even then when I was in grad school, there was so much, you know, we were all out of college and we had experiences that we could share with one another and that was related to what was being taught. And that's very cumbersome, if not impossible, I think, with the extension or online or whatever type of thinking. So those are my thoughts on why it's just really, really, I say impossible, but I'm maybe a little more negative toward it.
All right, so why don't you jump in and give a couple of thoughts along the same way. We're thinking a lot of the students' aspect. Yes, some of the teacher, but as a student, because now it's just become so popular. In fact, mm-hmm. There's Bible colleges that basically say, we're only online. Mm-hmm. stay as you are, in your jammies. no sense of getting out of bed, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you can learn, too. So we've talked about all that. And so what are some other ideas?
A personal pet peeve of mine is the idea that preaching is the only time where a person is called to make a decision. I have taught for a lot of years, and I would retire if I felt that students wouldn't have some definitive response, as is often the case. Sometimes it takes a little while for a young person to mature, and the Lord does a lot of things into their life, brings a lot of things into their life in order to bring them to that place. But as I sat there talking to this young lady, she was getting ready to leave and go off into the ministry, which she's still working in today with her husband. She said that she got a lot of things during her time at Bible college, but it was during the course of when she was sitting through a class on Bible doctrines. I wasn't the teacher at the time, but sitting in a class on Bible doctrines, that the Lord broke her heart about what the Lord had done for her and how that she should in return respond with a life of service. And so, could that have been transferred to her through online learning? It could have, possibly. But I know that when the teacher's here and the student is nearby, mm-hmm. the teacher has a gauge of whether he's affecting not just the intellect, not just the mental knowledge, but also the emotions and the will, the point of decision. And I think that a teacher in a class, at least for myself, that is our burden when we're teaching. And so that extensiveness of the teaching, I think, is lost. Yes, a person can get the knowledge mm-hmm. through online learning, but I'm afraid what takes a back seat, at least for the teacher to have a gauge on that, is whether the student's emotions are really affected, and then ultimately their will, whether they've come to a decision based on that. And so I'm afraid that online learning is going to be deficient or second rate, we might say, in that effort on a teacher's part to make yeah. that level of an effect.
Right. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about some, and I know we I'm using the terms, the dangers, and I think some of it is to grab somebody's attention, yeah. just saying, hey, think about it, because mm-hmm. now it's just...
Well, everybody thinks it's the latest, greatest, right. so there couldn't be any harm in it.
Right.
And it's really not the latest, greatest. Right. I mean, it's the latest, but it's not the greatest
right.
by any means.
And even I was telling Pastor Arbacost, you know, I was reading one guy, and he was like, finally, online learning is legitimate. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, mm-hmm. that there still is... I mean, even in the Bible, you see that one-on-one. You could go through Jewish
sure,
history.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's that one-on-one, it's traditional. That's why it's called
just because
traditional.
Everyone has accepted it doesn't mean it's the best way to do
yes.
it. Yes. Doesn't even mean that it's a good,
okay.
a really effective way,
yes. might,
or as effective right. as other available right. options.
And I think in particular for ministry training.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Because,
in particular.
You know, we are, even me, when I'm teaching about education, I'm trying to change those students' minds yeah. about education.
Right.
They have not, they grew up, most of them, in a Christian school and all that, but it's not been something that was addressed to them. And no right. fault to where it's just time when they're in college to start thinking about this. And I need mm-hmm. to change their minds because they didn't catch it from the commercials that they saw on the radio yeah. or saw on the television right. or listened to on the radio. Or mm-hmm. It's not something that we really think about.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But so I'm trying to change their mind. I'm trying to see, are they with me or are they not with me?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine that even like a Zoom or whatever, these hangouts right. or whatever, that having, you know, a 1x2 square on my screen is really going to give me a feel for that.
Especially when there's maybe there's 20 of them.
Right, 20 squares on my, if I got a 42-inch monitor, you know, I'm not catching it.
Right.
Yeah. And they're not catching it either. And that's the other side of it that we kind of mentioned. They could look like they're looking at it, but what else is on their screen? What's dinging on their phone at the same time? Yeah. And there's just a lot.
So along with that, you deal with a lot of different age.
Oh, yes.
Right, because you go down
fourth grade with the kids in the instruments.
And all the way up to grad school students. Sure. So we have talked about this, and I understand some that there can be an age difference. So let's address that a little bit.
Well, I think that, and I teach this, the more mature students are, the less they require to keep their attention.
Mm-hmm.
So in what I'm teaching in college class, I don't prepare that lesson in any way like I would the Bible club lesson that I prepare or like I would expect a fourth grade teacher to prepare. I don't have big, bright visuals. I don't have different activities every 10 minutes to keep their interest. Mm-hmm. I assume that they're mature and can sit still for 45 or 50 minutes and listen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a certain amount of just learning instills that discipline. And so a more mature student it's possible that they could get a lot from watching a video or learning something online. There's so much more to overcome, but it's way more possible for a graduate student or an upperclassman to get something, but he's going to have that drive and that desire and that love for what's going on. It's almost like the will and the affections have to be already on the same page with the teacher to be able to get something from that distance, mm-hmm. that online section, I would say. But at the same time, they're still missing the camaraderie of the classroom. I go back to that. I took more away from being at grad school than being in the classes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I got the information in the classes and I use it, but just the,
I know what you mean.
The interaction.
There is interaction.
Now I would say younger students, they could benefit from from a low dose of technology.
Right.
That exercise their skills.
Yes.
I mean, I know there's a difference, but there's not much difference between the teacher switching the flashcards and the computer switching the flashcards. There is difference, but that would be, I would sacrifice that. Practicing multiplication tables, chanting and lists and singing songs that are just filling their minds with information to memorize. But after that, there's a lot to be desired, I'd say. Young people need even more personal interaction than older ones.
All right, so I'm going to have you kind of address that as our final thought for this section here.
Dealing with a young person learning to, have a spirit-controlled attitude, and B, learn the important truth of respect for fellow students and definitely for their teacher. If there's anything that is a mark of our society's decline, is this concept of authority and respect. And that comes natural when there is a real classroom learning.
Yeah,
and that can be sensed and dealt with, whereas the computer turning the flashcards won't. If, in class, there's an attitude that comes up, it's seen immediately, and every teacher has a burden to see that attitude and that respect, put in a godly channel in a godly way. That's completely lost with online.
So, as we close, then, for those of you watching, I know hopefully this has made you think a little bit. We're going to do a follow-up on maybe some helps, but one of the things is I know it's popular. I know it's what everybody is going to and saying, hey, we need to go all online, but we sitting here have discussed it for years, and we strongly believe in traditional. And actually, over the last about 7 weeks, it hasn't made me less traditional. It's made me more. Mm-hmm. because we've had to really be engaged in the idea of online and the e-learning, and I just see it as deficient. And both of these men, as we have looked at it and we have talked about it, we see deficiency. And I would just challenge you, if you're an administrator, if you're a pastor, just consider that as you're heading down the road of what type of education to do in your own church or in your school, or as you're considering Bible college.